Before I get into the lesson, I'd like to make an observation. And I think about this probably more this time of year than most. I count it a blessing that in this congregation we have so many great examples of marriage. It's been that way for a long, long time. Great examples we don't have with us anymore, but you who are here are great examples. Beth and I have an anniversary coming up in a couple days. And as you who are married know, there's ups and downs in marriage. There's work involved. What a comfort it is to know there's great examples, young and old, of Christians taking marriage seriously. And I want to thank you for that. And we have many here that do all sorts of things for their spouses. What a great example. Beth and I keep working on trying to make our marriage what the Lord wants us to have, and you all help us. Hopefully we can do the same. Brother Gordo mentioned in his prayer that he asked God to help us to look at ourselves, and I think that's a desire that all preachers want to have, is when you preach a lesson, obviously you want to look at yourself, but then you want others to see what you're studying and then take it and embrace it and use it. And we all strive to do that. And I also am humbled to just be on the rotation. We have many good speakers here, both publicly here on the pulpit weekly. We have wonderful lessons given to us, great teachers. We have a rotation on our TV program. We have a rotation going down to Athens. I'm proud of all that. I'm humbled to be a part of that. Hopefully this morning we'll be able to learn some things. And young people who are taking notes, you might want to call this lesson, Everyone Doing Your Part. Everyone Doing Your Part. And we're going to do something a little unusual. We're going to use an animal to help us. This is a wolf. And in this lesson, we're going to see something that one animal did to transform a whole area. We're also going to see something that we're not going to talk about that much, but we're also going to see how sometimes man goofs up the natural balance that God put in his ecosystems. So follow along. We're going to cover quite a bit of scripture. I've taken the time to put it on the slides, but I'll be reading from my Bible, and if you have that, it's all from the New King James this morning. 70 years ago was the last, well, after 70 years, because man got rid of the wolves, man brought back the wolves to Yellowstone in 1995. And I want you to notice the things that happened when the wolves came back to Yellowstone. They made things better for plants and animals. Overgrazing by deer and elk decreased. Aspen, willow, and cottonwood trees grew. Beaver returned to make ponds, which helped the otters and the ducks and the muskrat and the fish and the reptiles and the amphibians. Trees grew 5 times the rate they had grown previously. Erosion along streams and lakes decreased. Songbirds that migrate, they increased dramatically in the park. Fish and aquatic animals grew in numbers. Wolves coming in, that's about the only way to get rid of coyotes. I don't know if you knew that, is bringing wolves. The coyotes, less coyotes meant more rabbits and mice and more food for hawks and fox and weasels and badgers. Ravens and eagles fed on carrion. Carrion is dead animals. Around here we have turkey vultures and crows that do that. But in the park, there was more food for ravens and eagles. And then more plants and shrubs produced berries, which helped to have more bears. All these things happened because wolves came back to Yellowstone. They made the rivers better. There was less erosion. There was more pools, more riffle sections. That's the area where you see in a river where the water comes up a little bit and goes down, and it brings oxygen into the water, This has helped wildlife and fish. Forests were rejuvenated because the soils were stabilized. and the river stayed more in their fixed course. And by driving out deer in some places, the wolves didn't drive out all the deer. The deer just had to go hide in different places. By driving the deer out of some places and the vegetation recovering on the valley sides, there was less erosion. And because the vegetation stabilized. Wolves, small in number, transformed the ecosystem and physical geography of the 2.2 million acre Yellowstone National Park. Just to give an idea how big that is, the Great Smoky Mountain National Park is 500,000 acres, or 500,000 acres. So it's over four times as large. So wolves, by this one animal coming back, this one animal doing its part in the ecosystem that God has designed, transformed this whole area. Now let's make some applications to our lives as Christians. This one animal doing its part made everything better. Everything better. We Christians, by doing our part, each one of us personally doing our part, we can make everything better. And sometimes we don't think about the basics like we should. Kevin gave a great lesson about how our society has challenges. Well, we can make our homes better by doing our part. We can make our workplaces better by simply doing what Jesus wants us to do. We can make our neighborhoods better by being a good neighbor to those around us the way the Lord wants us to do. Our communities can be better by being involved and making them better because we're simply living as a Christian in our congregation here. By each one of us doing our part, we can make our congregation better. So that's what we're going to talk about, and we're going to just look at a number of scriptures. I want you to get your Bibles out because we're going to be reading a number of scriptures and simply looking for indications of examples and application for doing our part. In Matthew chapter 7 in verse 12, some people call this the golden rule. Therefore, whatever you want men to do to you, do also to them, for this is the law and the prophets. In Mark chapter 12, this is one of my favorite passages. Mark chapter 12, where Jesus is responding to one of the scribes. And in chapter 12, starting verse 29, Jesus says, he answers him, "The first of all the commandments is, Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. And you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, with all your strength. And this is the first commandment. The second like it is this, You shall love your neighbor as yourself. There is no other commandment greater than these." Two passages that are fairly familiar, but let's make some personal application. In the golden rule, there, whatever you want men to do to you. In Mark chapter 12, "And you shall love the Lord with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, with all your strength. And you shall love your neighbor." Each one of us has a neighbor. "We shall love your neighbor as yourself." Now, let's look at Romans chapter 12. And Kevin read the first couple verses of this. And I thought, well, maybe I'll cut out some of the passages. But when it comes down to doing your part, Romans chapter 12 is a great chapter. So let's just read it together. We'll read the first eight verses and make some comments and then the rest of it. "I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, wholly acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service. And do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. For I say, through the grace given to me, to everyone who is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly, as God has dealt to each one a measure of faith. For as we have many members in one body, but all the members do not have the same function, so we being many are one body in Christ, and individually members of one another. Having then gifts differing according to the grace that is given to us, let us use them. If prophecy, let us prophesy in proportion to our faith. Or ministry, let us use it in our ministry. He who teaches in teaching, he who exhorts in exhortation, he who gives with liberality, he who leads with diligence, He who shows mercy with cheerfulness. Lots of good things. Lots of good things that we personally need to be doing. But I want you to see something that rings true for... I didn't realize it until after I went through the verses again. There's an air of humility here. Not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly as God has dealt to each one a measure of faith. A lot of doing our part starts with humility. It starts with us not thinking too highly of ourselves. And then notice all the personal applications in this passage. I beseech you, each one of us, need to take note of this passage. That you, not me telling others, no, what am I doing with my body? What am I doing with my mind? What am I doing to prove that good and acceptable will of God? Individually, members, we're members of one another. Each one of us is a member of one another. And we, each one of us has a gift. Let us use them. You see the personal application here? To me, that really, really helps me because I have things I need to work on. Maybe you do too. Because I need to be thinking about, like Gordo said in his prayer, examining myself to how I can do my part better. Romans chapter 12, picking up in verse 9. Let love be without hypocrisy. Abhor what is evil. Cling to what is good. Be kindly affectionate to one another with brotherly love and honor, giving preference to one another. Not lagging in diligence, fervent in spirit, serving the Lord, rejoicing in hope, patient in tribulation, continuing steadfast in prayer, distributing to the needs of the saints, given to hospitality. Bless those who persecute you. Bless and do not curse. Rejoice with those who rejoice, and weep with those who weep. Be of the same mind toward one another. Do not set your mind on high things, but associate with the humble. Do not be wise in your own opinion. Repay no one evil for evil. Have regard for good things in the sight of all men. If it is possible, as much as depends on you, live peaceably with all men. Beloved, do not avenge yourselves, but rather give place to wrath. For it is written, vengeance is mine, I will repay, says the Lord. Therefore, if your enemy is hungry, feed him. If he is thirsty, give him a drink. For in so doing, you will heap coals of fire on his head. Do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good. Lots of great personal applications of things we can do. We need not to be hypocritical in what we do. We need to be embracing what is good. We need to be remembering the humility we ought to have in our life, in all that we do. We need to be mindful of the needs of our brethren, ministering to those needs. We need to be hospitable. It says given to hospitality. And then we need to share. When brethren are going through tough times, share when they're going through good times. And then it talks about living peaceable as best we can in this world. We have a world that's full of turmoil, and it's our desire to live peaceable with all men. You know, when you look at the term affectionate, being affectionate to one another, that's something maybe we don't talk about too much. We maybe think, well, it means hugging and kissing and all that stuff. That's not necessarily what affectionate means. It's caring, truly providing. Aaron's holding his baby back there. We can see affection, natural affection. That's what we need to have toward one another. A great passage to show what we should be doing and doing our part. 1 Corinthians chapter 16, in our giving even, we need to do our part. 1 Corinthians 16 verse 12 and verse 2. On the first day of the week, let each one of you lay something aside, storing up as he may prosper, that there be no collections when I come. If you go over to 2 Corinthians, and I believe Brother Larry read this a little while ago, 2 Corinthians chapter 9, starting in verse 6. But this I say, he who sows sparingly will also reap sparingly. And he who sows bountifully will also reap bountifully. So let each one give as he purposes in his heart, not grudgingly or of necessity, for God loves a cheerful giver. When you look at the personal application, here's a command. Let each one of you, so each one of us needs to give. And then the attitude, let each one give as he purposes in his heart. Our heart needs to be right. We need to be thinking about it. And we need to be doing our part in giving. Galatians chapter 6, another passage. And I believe we read some of this in class this morning. Galatians chapter 6. And if I thought about it, Brother Drew, I would have had you read some of these for me. Didn't think about it. Getting old, I guess. Brethren, if a man is overtaken in any trespass, you who are spiritual, restore such a one in a spirit of gentleness, considering yourself, lest you also be tempted. Bear one another's burdens, and so fulfill the law of Christ. For if anyone thinks himself to be something when he is nothing, he deceives himself. But let each one examine his own work, and then he will have rejoicing in himself alone, and not in another. For each one shall bear his own load. Let him who is taught the word share in all good things with him who teaches. Do not be deceived. God is not mocked, for whatever a man sows, that he will also reap. For he who sows to his flesh will of the flesh reap corruption. But he who sows to the Spirit will of the Spirit reap everlasting life. Let us not grow weary while doing good. And that was the point this morning in the read. Let us not grow weary while doing good. For in due season we shall reap if we do not lose heart. Therefore, as we have opportunity, let us do good to all, especially to those who are of the household of faith. When you think about doing our part, this is a passage, this is one of the first ones I thought about, of just thinking about what we can do. You who are spiritual, you who are spiritual, we have a job. We have a job to watch out for each other. Sometimes we get it out of kilter because we don't watch out for ourselves first. We need to look at ourselves first. But we have a job to look out for each other. And then we need to do it in humility again. Notice again, for if anyone thinks himself to be something when he's nothing, he deceives himself. You see that ringing true in all this. In all that we do, we need to do things humbly before the Lord. And we need to examine ourselves, as Brother Gordo mentioned in his prayer. Let each one examine his own work. And then each one shall bear his own load. And then you see towards the end of the passage, let us not grow weary. For in due season, we shall reap. Therefore, as we have opportunity, let us do good. That's a personal application of this passage. To each one of us doing our part. Ephesians chapter 4. Ephesians chapter 4, verses 14 and 15 and 16. But speaking the truth in love, may grow up in all things in him who is ahead, Christ, from whom the whole body, joined and knit together by what every joint supplies, according to the effective working by which every part does its share, causes growth of the body for the edifying of itself in love. If we want to grow in spirit as a congregation, we each one of us needs to do. Every joint needs to supply what is necessary. Every part needs to do its share. If we don't, then our body won't grow, and it won't grow in the edifying of love that's talked about here. Colossians chapter 3. Here's some application that can help us in our homes, in our workplaces. Let's read. Verse 18. Wives, submit to your own husbands as is fitting the Lord. Husbands, love your wives, and do not be bitter toward them. Children, obey your parents in all things, for this is well-pleasing to the Lord. Fathers, do not provoke your children, lest they become discouraged. Bondservants, obey in all things your masters, according to the flesh, not with eye service as men pleasers, but in sincerity of heart, fearing God. And whatever you do, do it heartily as to the Lord and not to men, knowing that from the Lord you will receive the reward of inheritance, for you serve the Lord Christ. Now, when we look at the personal application here, we talk about wives. Each wife has a responsibility to submit themselves to their husbands. That's not something you can put off somebody else. You have to do it personally. We husbands, we need to love our spouses, love our wives. We can't absolve ourselves of that personal responsibility. Children need to obey your parents. I need to obey my parents. This is one of those commands that continues on through your life. And fathers, we're not to provoke our children. That's a personal responsibility. And then we have a tough time relating to being in bondservants in this country. But we all have who work. We all have bosses. We all have people we report to. And we need to obey our masters, each one of us. And the ones that, and we need to do all these things because we're loving the Lord. Each one of us needs to be loving the Lord like we should, and these other things fall into place. And whatever you do, do it heartily as to the Lord and not to men. Because if we want to personally receive our reward, we need to personally do what the Lord is telling us here. For you serve the Lord Jesus, the Lord Christ. Powerful passage for doing our part. Still in Colossians chapter 4, starting in verse 5. Walk in wisdom to those who are outside, redeeming the time. Let your speech always be seasoned with grace, seasoned with salt. And let your speech always be with grace, seasoned with salt, and you may know how you ought to answer each one. How can we make our world a better place? Notice the personal application here. Let your speech, how you speak to others. How do they perceive your speech? Are you showing the grace of God in how you speak to your neighbor or your coworker or your classmate? Are you ready to give an answer? You know, sometimes we say, well, you know, I'm waiting for the right opportunity and stuff. And, you know, I don't know about you, but sometimes I have opportunities that I'm not aware of because I'm not ready for them. We got to be ready. And we got to be. Sometimes we worry about what kind of question somebody might ask us. Don't worry about that. Let's be ready. Let's be ready to hear that question so we can know how we ought to answer each one. Each one. Notice the personal responsibility here. You want to make the world a better place. Here it is in these two verses. 1 Peter chapter 2, verses 11 and 12. 1 Peter 2, 11 and 12. Beloved, I beg you as sojourners and pilgrims, abstain from fleshly lusts which war against the soul, having your conduct honorable among the Gentiles, that when they speak against you as evildoers, they may, by your good works which they observe, glorify God in the day of visitation. Here we see Peter really shows us, I beg you as sojourners. We can't get so connected and attached to this world that we forget that we're just passing through. We're pilgrims and sojourners passing through. Sometimes this world has a lot of good things to offer, but you know what? This is nothing compared to heaven. So here Peter's begging the brethren who of the dispersion, he's begging them to abstain from worldly things, to have their conduct with a good reputation from the Gentiles, and that people can see by your good works what you're all about. That's what he wants. That's how we notice the last phrase here, which they observe, glorify God in the day of visitation. We want our friends and our neighbors to go to heaven. We want them, when judgment day comes, we want them to be ready. So we need to do our part to help them. 1 Peter chapter 4, starting verse 7. But the end of all things is at hand. Therefore be serious and watchful in your prayers. Brother Gordo is going to be teaching a class on prayer. Here's a verse that shows us the importance of prayer. Be serious and watchful in your prayers. And above all things, have fervent love for one another, for love will cover a multitude of sins. Be hospitable. There's that hospitality again. Be hospitable to one another without grumbling. As each one has received a gift, minister it to one another as good stewards of the manifold grace of God. If anyone speaks, let him speak as the oracles of God. If anyone ministers, let him do it as with the ability which God supplies, that in all things God may be glorified through Jesus Christ, to whom belong the glory and the dominion forever and ever. Amen. Notice the, as each one has received a gift, minister it to one another. Each one of us has a gift. We need to be ministering that to each other. We need to be using those gifts for one another. When we think about this, by Christians simply doing their part, doing their job, we can make the world a better place. We can make our homes better, our workplaces, our communities, our neighborhood, our congregation. And using the animal of the wolf in Yellowstone made everything better. Let us get the lesson here. If you're not a Christian this morning, the way you can make things better immediately is by repenting of your sins and being baptized. That's how you can be better serving the Lord in your life, and you can make the world a better place. We have a passage I'd like us to look at. One more passage. Matthew chapter 28. Verses 18 through 20. And Jesus came and spoke to them, saying, "All authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. Go therefore and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things that I have commanded you, and lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age." Here Jesus gives this, what we call the Great Commission. What's his focus? His focus is to make disciples. Baptizing them. And we see that focus in this verse. Baptizing them. And then after they're baptized, teaching them all the things of the Lord. If you haven't become a Christian, now's a great time. A couple more questions before we end. Like I said, it starts with me. Am I doing my part? Am I doing my part? And how about you? Are you doing your part? Pretty simple lesson. The challenge is in the application, isn't it? The challenge is a daily walk. The daily walk to where we keep the Lord as our focus, and that we're doing our part for the Lord, and we're doing our part for His kingdom, and we're doing that part for each other and for those around us, and we don't get caught up in the rat race that wants to just suck us in. Let us keep that focus. Let us all do our part. If we can help you now, please come forward while we stand and sing.